talked about Carl Bengai. Did I say his name right? From
Carl Bengai.
Carl Bengai. Yeah. I've only met him a few times. I know Mark Roman as well. And I think that's how I first found out about your music and your band when they used to have that playlist. Way back, they used to have the CD that came in the old school magazine.
Right.
And that went away, which was so cool. That's how I found a lot of new bands. But then you guys came up on the playlist. I'm like, who the heck is this band, Cobra and the Lotus, right?
Yeah.
I heard your voice. I heard the music, like old school metal roots. So, yeah, I was into you all from back then. And I know your new album, it's called Evolution, right?
Yeah.
So one of my questions is, as you look back now, what, 8, 9 years, almost 10 years, almost since you started this band, how has this evolved? Like, how has the evolution been in your mind from, you know, when you started to what it's going to be next? And there's only 2 songs out so far, right? So,
yeah,
we haven't heard the rest yet, but tell us about that.
Well, I mean, I think that if people heard Out of the Pit, which is our very first record, you can hear that it's metal and rock right from the very get-go.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we're bringing more hard rock to the surface, but we're keeping it heavy. We're keep Marcus Lee, everybody. I think it's very authentic to us, actually. I would say as we've gone along, we've just honed into finding more of an identity that people can identify us as, like a sound for Cobra and the Lotus. Because I think it's really important, you know, like as we developed along the way, we had a lot of very flattering but throwback comments to you're a new Doro or you're a female Bruce Dickinson or something, and I was just like, no, like I'm actually Cobra Page. This is how my voice is. And I do fall into a bit of that genre for sure, but how do we like make this have more of an identity? And I think we've stepped closer to that every record. It really started to step even closer on Prevail 1, Prevail 2, where we also started to modernize the sound just a little bit, because I think a tasteful modernization of the sound also represented that we are from like the later 2008 to 2010 birth, you know. So I wanted to also acknowledge that, yeah, we are like part of the new generation of rock and roll and metal, you know. So
that leads me to my next question or comment. I saw that you worked with Kevin Shirley on the first one.
Yeah.
That Kevin Shirley?
That Kevin Shirley.
That's impressive. Kevin Shirley is the producer of the last 20 years of Iron Maiden.
Falling Down, actually.
And he's done...
Heavy metal show, what did you expect?
Yeah. But he's done tons
of stuff.
It's
very fitting.
Okay, here, push
keep
it.
Going.
Yeah, so when I read that, and
yeah.
I have a little Canadian connection. When I graduated high school in 86, I went to school in Toronto at Trevis Institute of Recording Arts.
Okay.
And I lived right on Yonge Street.
A great area.
Right next to the Carlton.
Yeah.
I lived on my apartment building was called the Maples.
Holy smokes.
19th floor. I looked over my balcony to the Carlton. But
like Oreos to stabilize the camera.
but at least we did
perfect.
The question about female singers. Now, you just mentioned some compared you to Doro, you know, the older.
Yeah.
What about some of the Canadian, Lee Aaron, or
I have heard
like
that a few times, and I mean, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's always a compliment, you know, like, if it's music that people are also endeared to, and these are people that have legendary histories, like, I feel very flattered, you know?
Well, let's compare it to some of your contemporaries, some of the people in Europe, like Lizzie Hale, or... you know, the girl from Angela Glasson from Arch Enemy, where they're, you know, Angela and the Butchered Baby Girl, you know, they're a little heavier, but your vocals are fantastic. I mean, I walked in there, I've been a fan for a week and a half, and I had a chance to sit down with Marcus at the bar, and we had a little conversation, and I honestly walked away from that show. You guys were having fun, and I had fun.
Awesome.
You have a fan in
That's
me.
That's what we hope for.
And you especially on there, fantastic singer. And I read the story that you saw Rob Halford singing Painkiller. And you're just you're like,
yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
It was the moment where I discovered there was a place for my voice specifically that totally didn't have to be classical, because I hadn't actually been exposed to a lot of metal yet. I really got into punk rock. That was my first alternative dip, was into punk rock. And then my dad actually took me to see Judas Priest on the Painkiller tour. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, man, that vibrato, that tone, that range, I was like, I can do something else with this voice that I have. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be opera. Yeah. Yes. You know, because not that I don't appreciate classical music still, and also operatic vocals, because that is really tough to do. But yeah, security dog.
Yep. Well, besides enjoying your performance,
it just wasn't my heart and soul wasn't in it. Security dog. Security dog.
I was very impressed with your band. And
thank you.
I noticed that they're sort of scattered across the country. He's fine.
Yeah.
Marcus is from Chicago. The guitarist Jarlos.
Yasho.
Yeah.
Yasho.
Jarlos.
What about this gentleman? What's your name, sir?
Ronnie.
Yes,
sir.
He's got to put your head in the camera.
What's up, Ronnie?
This is Pornomatic and Mark from Metal Mayhem.
Nice to meet you, man. Good show, man.
Awesome. Yeah, enjoy the show. It looks like you and the bass player are having some fun up there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
How long have you been in the band?
For a little over a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're the new guy.
And then we locked in a new record with him pretty quickly. It's pretty awesome. He's all over it, so.
Well, good job. And, you know, Thursday night here, you know, we enjoyed it.
Well, you mentioned female artists, and I guess I was going to ask you this question, because you get very personal in your music.
Yeah.
And on social media, and I know sometimes you even struggle with that social media platform in general. I was going to ask you about did you have a relationship with Jill Janis? Did you know Jill from Huntress?
I actually didn't, and I never met her.
But you have talked about that before, though, correct?
No.
Oh, you have not?
I actually, like, really didn't know her. I knew of her.
Yeah.
And it's very tragic, you know, what happened. I feel very sorry for her family and her friends. And of course, I feel bad for anyone that's struggling that way, because there are so many people that we don't know about that are going through that. You know, we only really hear about, like, well-known people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this is a commonality. This is a thing that happens. Parents off themselves and leave their children. Like, this is kids kill themselves. Like, you know. It's very sad.
And you've used your platform, though, to talk about those issues and social media and how you can hide some of the things that people are struggling with or going through, right? I mean.
Yeah.
Even yourself, and at different times you're like, hey, this touring life and recording life, is that always, it's tough, right? It's tough to balance it all the time.
It's very tough. Mostly, actually, the toughest thing is you can't financially keep up to a band, like, if it doesn't pass a certain point, and we just have not been able to break through the surface enough to keep up with what we need, and we're all becoming older. Some of us have had kids. And that's why, like, I totally understand why bands start quitting around our age.
Right.
Because it just becomes unsustainable.
We keep hearing, reading about some of the older bands saying, I don't know how these younger bands are doing it. You're not making any money
selling
CDs.
I don't know either. Like, I've even, like, wondered how other bands are doing it, because we can barely do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, how are bands doing it these days? And with the algorithms on social media, like, there's no street postering anymore. It's social media, and there's algorithms, because it's a business model, and your own fan base doesn't even see what you post unless you boost to your own fans. It's like, I don't even know how to operate around this, like, game anymore.
But meanwhile, you know? The song Trigger Pulse,
like,
that did go crazy, though, on social media.
It did. That one went pretty quick with the plays.
Like, over a million plays and views, and so you had those moments, right, obviously, and
yeah,
you had your exposure when you were, like, with Kiss and Def Leppard, right? I mean,
it didn't do much, to be honest.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why we started this whole show of that, like, we've got this, like, we went to Maiden. I know you like Maiden. You talked about the references to Bruce. But, like, man, we're like, man, selling out arenas, no radio play, no new record or album to speak of, no promotion, and bang, you go to the stadium and they're sold out, right? 18,000 fans, 20,000 fans, like, that's why we're rooting for bands like you, and we want you to keep going.
And that's why, more importantly, Cobra, and that's why you gained a fan in me. And that as growing as our platform is, we're doing our share. So if
we can
sit here, sit down with you, take this, go back and keep it like bring underground to the masses. Just try to say, if I own a business myself, 22 years, and my goal is one new customer a day.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you can make an impact, like tonight, you know, at one point, at like right near the end of the set, you're like, that smile on your face was sincere. You're like,
for real. All
right, fuck yeah.
Of course.
And Thursday night in Rochester, you know.
And I mean, to be honest, like, you cannot do this. You cannot take the massive risk that we take without loving what you do. Like, and now you speak as, like, this one customer a day thing. So this is, I think, our fourth time back at this venue.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same amount of people.
Right, right, right.
We paid more to be here tonight than it cost us. Like, we, you know, so that if that puts it in perspective, it was like, I looked at it as like the guys tonight, I was like, this was a wonderful moment, but we can't do this anymore. And I'm real, and so I'm like, let's value these moments, and we really appreciate the people that come because they really, really want to be there, you know, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful connection, but at the same time, like, that right there is the example of how this is not sustainable, and we promoted ourselves online.
Most definitely.
I don't know what the promoter here did, but you know, like,
well, that's, we've been working with some bands and promoting shows, but when we've done that, we've done a lot, like drops, going to all the record stores in town, going to the musician shops.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's good, but to
networking,
your point,
our social and personal networks.
But it has an impact, but it's not as dramatic as you would think. And we've had some big bands come through town too.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's symptomatic
it.
Of the market or the town or the city.
Of course.
And obviously, Rochester's not as big as like New York. Clearly, I know you guys draw bigger crowds in those markets, but
It's
tough. But I think it's getting tough in the industry as a whole, right? With
it is.
It's hard, getting harder to sell music. It's getting harder to get the music exposed. So this is it's a challenge, but also it's an opportunity in some way. Some people are gonna have to figure this out, right? And how are you gonna keep it going and make it go?
Yeah, and I actually don't know how. I gotta be honest. It's like, it's becoming very puzzling.
And your products, the music's there.
Thank
the
you.
Are
you
there.
Know,
like I told you, but Prevail One, Prevail Two. It's like
it's
hard to get people
to
find it,
rock,
though.
Or whatever that.
Yeah,
it's as good. It holds up to everything else. It holds up to Maiden. It holds up to Pre. It holds up to all the classics. It does.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to have some fun now?
Let's have some fun.
Yeah, we're trying to get too serious.
Yeah,
so
we have a segment on the show called Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Okay. We talked about this. Why don't we do her Mount Rushmore of bands?
Yeah, just four top favorite bands come to mind.
Oh, man. Okay, Fleetwood Mac came to the surface really quick.
Okay.
Led Zeppelin.
All time now, Cold Run.
Let's see here. Yeah, all time.
Okay.
All time. I'm a classic rock girl. I mean, I was born and raised on classic rock.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I grew up with the Beatles, Queen, Michael Jackson. I love Michael Jackson. It's changed too, you know, like, mm-hmm. like metal bands aren't my favorite and the top thing anymore. It's still those classic rock though.
Yeah.
So Led Zeppelin, Fleetwood Mac. I'm going to say like right now, Jeff Buckley is for sure up there.
Okay.
And,
Two of his are Rush and Van Halen, which we technically say isn't really technically metal.
That's awesome. Metal. I think those all fall into the, is it done storage?
Oh, wow, we're out. Okay, keep going.
We're still going.
Okay.
Do you have a fourth?
It's hard. It's hard to pick a fourth.
We need producers. I'll go hear that.
Man.
Well, she only has three.
Right.
She's young.
I have like a long list of bands, but I couldn't pick like... Yeah, it's hard to pick four because I'm not kind of... I never was that person that said, this is my all-time favorite. Mm-hmm. I'm like a map of multiple layers, you know? And I like I love Devin Townsend's work. I love Porcupine Tree. I love Iced Earth. I love Ensiferum. Elevati. Like, it goes like in so many directions.
Those bands are like, they're like old friends. What mood are you in?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, a Fire or Ice one, which is either or, Maiden or Priest.
Ooh.
That's a hard one.
I'm going to say Priest, actually.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
rock and roll confession.
We go back and forth. Uh-oh.
Okay.
You.
Oh, so me, a rock and roll confession.
Sebastian Bach one.
Okay.
Metal Mike, my buddy who you met from Halford.
Yeah.
Was in Sebastian's band for a while. They played Playboy Mansion.
Okay.
7 or 8 years ago, I got a chance to go, which was incredible. And I stuffed my boxers in the top of the grotto because I went in the grotto with my boxers on, and then I realized when I got out, I had nowhere to put them, so I put my jeans back on. So
okay.
I think to this day, my jeans
are still up in the grotto.
Sebastian Bach.
That's hilarious.
So.
Your metal confession.
We could be worse than that, but that's...
Oh, man.
She's not going to go there.
Doesn't have to be dirty or anything. It's just fun on tour.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, there's a Dutch photographer named Tim Tronco. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. No. He takes a lot of pictures in Europe for metal bands. And when I was doing a guest vocal job for Camelot, he took a lot of pictures of me at one of their gigs before the gig, and he took them of each member and then me, and then I got all the photos, and I was wearing like this mesh halter top underneath a black corset and no bra, like the bra was built into the corset. My left nipple was out in every single photo.
Oh, that's still happening.
Whoops. So
I told Tim, like, he didn't even notice, and I was just like, Tim, you know, like, my nipple's out in all those photos. Can you, like, I don't usually ask for Photoshop, but this is a photoshopping time.
Yeah, well,
otherwise, these are not happening, you know?
I actually never saw that Janet Jackson thing that happened after
the Super Bowl.
So, anyway, but.
Ah.
Anything else?
What do you want everybody to know about this new album? When's it actually? I know you dropped two songs so far. Like, when does it come out?
I just want to, it comes out September 20th, so it's coming real quick. We got two songs to check out with cool videos. One's called Burn. I think people will enjoy that. It's easy to remember. It's Burn, and it will fuel your day.
I hear an anthem song in there, too, the one that you kind of played at the end tonight.
Thundersmith.
Yeah.
Yes. That one is totally for self-empowerment, you know, like
total. I could see that being
be proud of what you're made of.
Yeah.
You know, we were thinking that too. We'll see what happens, but yeah, that's all about, you know, staying true. And you got can I swear?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here is on there too, and we got a lyric video up if you want to play some karaoke in your living room. And, the only thing I have to say is, like, check out the album, pre-order it, or stream it on a legitimate platform. It, you know, this really impacts us as artists, actually, in way more ways than people know. Your streams on legitimate platforms means that promoters want to actually bring us out on the road. They look at those numbers. It also provides opportunities for us to apply for tour grants, things like these. So the numbers really matter in the right places. So I'm not even asking people to buy an album if they can't. But just like if you check something out, do it on a real platform. And there's so many. Deezer, Spotify, Google Play. It goes on and on.
Yeah.
So, that's all.
That sounds great. And I'm going to make an executive decision right here. I'd like to invite her to come on the podcast. And via telephone and
under a segment
Mark hosts called Business of Metal.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Rich, your tour manager, was telling me, like, you handle everything. This is your baby. And just the fact that you're talking about the effects of streaming, how it affects tour grants and this and that, we like to explore that and educate our listeners. So
absolutely.
Cobra, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you guys
so
for having me.
That was fun.
Yes, that was fun. Thank you. I'm glad you guys are doing this.
Oh, thank you.
Just going to have you do...
Stop it and do it.
Yep.